Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. To start off today, let's get some updates on the all-important Maricopa, Arizona election audit. Here's some audio from the podcast yesterday, May 15th, of Tom Zawistowski of WeThePeopleConvention.org. Play soundbite one, please.
Back to some serious business and some very, very bad news, but not surprising news. So many of you know that we've been watching the Maricopa County audit of the ballots, because we knew they cheated in Arizona. And it's pretty clear that's their finding. But today, this week, we got the best evidence ever they're cheating. Listen to this news report.
The Arizona State Senate president is saying that forensic auditors have discovered that an entire database from the 2020 election was deleted. In a letter addressed to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, Senate President Karen Fan indicated that the audit team discovered that a database directory from the D drive of the machine EMS primary was deleted. This, she wrote, removes election-related details that appear to have been covered by the subpoena. She goes on to say that the main database directory from the election management system software, results, tally, and reporting, is not located anywhere on the EMS primary machine, even though all of the EMS clients reference that machine as the location of the database. She wrote that the team's discovery suggests that the main database for all election-related data for the November 2020 general election has been removed. She then asks why the folders were deleted and if there are any backups that may contain the deleted folders. After which, she provided a screenshot of the location of the files that were known to be deleted, emphasizing that the database for results, tally, and reporting was not present. She finishes the letter by inviting the board to provide answers during a scheduled meeting at the Arizona State Capitol on May 18th. The meeting will be live streamed.
Yeah, she asked them to provide answers. I'll give you the answer. They cheated. They know it. They were about to get caught. It has now come out that those files were deleted like 2 days before the machines were handed over for the audit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a felony. This federal law says that all election records must be maintained for 24 months, and to not do so is a felony. Now, the left has called upon the DOJ to intervene in this audit, and now I'm calling on the DOJ to intervene. But we'll see if they will, won't we? We'll see if Garland, we'll see if he's really believes in the law. I laugh, because they destroyed evidence. I want to know who destroyed the evidence. I want them to go to prison. I want a bunch of these people to go to prison. This, we can now say that this proves that Joe Bama, China Joe Biden, is an illegitimate non-president, because this clearly was done on purpose to hide evidence of voter fraud. There's also a story out that there are boxes with ballots that are supposed to be, have been cured, that are supposed to be connected. Like, here's the ballot that was, they weren't sure who it was for, and this is where it was cured. The seals of those are broken and ballots are missing. Okay? There's all kinds of fraud here. Now, we're not surprised, are we? Many of you said to me from the beginning, don't put your faith in the Maricopa County thing. They're going to cheat. They'll never find it. But finding that they cheated is important. Okay? Then we heard that Dominion is now saying, and there's a story, and if you, and I've been putting this out, and I really want you guys to really, to just be sure you check this page. On the We the People Convention website, it says, here's the evidence of voter fraud from all over the United States. This page has been up since last November, and every day we update it. So I sent out a text message this week saying, hey, there's some big stories breaking. You know, like the one about the census that said that the census data, I didn't even know this, that on the census, they actually asked people, did you vote in the presidential election? And in the census, that usually is very close. And they said that, like, in 2012, the Census Department asked that question, and they were within 100,000 votes between what was reported the votes in the presidential election and what the census says. Guess what? This time the census was off by 4 million votes. 4 million less votes than the polls showed in the census. Yeah, that's where the cheating was.
Sounds bad, doesn't it? I mean, this is what we all feared and have been hearing and seeing so much about in recent months. Critical voting machine files deleted, ballots missing, being burned and shredded in the key swing states that decided the election, of which Arizona is one, so that proof of fraud that threw the election to Joe Biden would never be recovered. Things may not be that bad, however. Here's another update on the situation in Maricopa County from Patrick Byrne, founder and former CEO of Overstock.com, who's also a real computer IT geek and who's been involved in the forefront of the fight to prove 2020 election fraud. This is from an interview with Byrne by Ann Vandersteel on her podcast The Steel Truth, May 13. Byrne posted a longer version of this interview on his Telegram.org channel. Play soundbite 2, please.
Clint Benson, she's going down in flames. And of course, I think we've got some other things happening. But let's start with Arizona. What do you know on the ground down there?
Well, in Arizona, so this I only know, although I do have some role, as the public knows, in instigating this stuff. I really maintain an arm's length relationship. I don't get things leaked to me and stuff. We know that everything has to have a clean forensic trail. So I'm in the same position generally as the public. But anyway, enough things have been released now. Yeah, they have determined 10 days before these guys turned over, the Maricopa County Election Board turned over their equipment. 10 days before they turned it over, they wiped the hard drives. They deleted a bunch of files. However,
is that like with a cloth? Like with a cloth? Did they wipe it with a cloth?
Yeah. See, they seem to know how to do it. But you know what? The odd thing about this is, remember, what did Hillary use? Bleach bit, I think it was called.
Bleach bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, these folks, I guess their subscription to Bleach bit ran out.
Whoops.
So not only is the hard evidence that they 10 days beforehand, before turning this stuff over, weeks, a couple months, I think, after receiving the actual subpoena. And remember, they received the subpoena from the Arizona Senate, and then they fought it out in court for a month or two. And then then it became clear that they were going to have to be turning it over. They 10 days before they did, they went in and tried to delete the database. And as sometimes happens, some of it is deleted and some of it can be recovered. Well, it, you know, remains to the forensic guys to let you know, to let us know what the ratio is. But my guess, well, these guys are pretty good. So my guess is that a lot more is recoverable than the world would imagine. And so that's one of many things. It's also turned out that none of their ballots have an audit trail of any value. All of this stuff by federal law is supposed to be secured with tamper-proof tape and all kinds of things. So if anyone ever challenges an election, you can go and look at it. All of these bags have been opened, complete, like scofflaw level. There's no chain of evidence, no seals on anything whatsoever. So these goons have had months it's called a smashdown. Hackers call it a smashdown. When you have to fix something forensically, so like if you have some con and you steal something, but then in order to survive an audit, you fix all the evidence, that's called a smashdown. So these guys have had months to perform a smashdown, but and you remember the day after, I'm sorry, I'll stop there. I can go on and on, but you want me to tell you more?
Well, I'm just curious. I'm curious because, you know, we knew that the ballots were stored for months, right? And that was always a big scare, was that they were going to go in, they were going to do something to the ballots, or they were going to do something to the machines. We know that some of the electronics was being checked out nightly. There was just there was a lot of issues with chain of custody, protecting the integrity of not only the paper ballots, but also the electronic equipment. And then, of course, they were not allowing access to the servers. The Dominion people weren't giving up the server admin passwords, and the system administrators didn't have passwords that worked. So there's been evidence that's, or there's been people who testified saying that it was actually Dominion who ran the election. Patrick, do you have any information specifically around that and the fact that we lost, the people lost control of the election process in Maricopa County?
Oh yeah, these folks haven't just, these guys just haven't skirted the law. They have, if they don't go to jail, if they don't go to prison, if somebody doesn't go to prison, a number of people, frankly, then there is no law on this. Then they effectively, the courts are saying, well, there's a law, but we're going to pin, you know, when you see kids pin a sign that says, kick me, let's pin a kick me sign on the back of the law. If they can get away with this, they have maintained no chain of custody. They've completely made it impossible. They've scrambled everything. There's huge pernicious failures and lackings in how they've kept records of things, how things are labeled. They've made it impossible to do a full forensic audit. However, from what is there, there's all kinds of things that may well be discovered. And for example, they tried to fix the database and they couldn't. They ended up trying to fixing it by just trying to wipe it out. And they deleted, you know how this stuff works, the forensics. Anyway, it can be recovered, most of it.
Is there why, if you can't recover the data, paper to electronic voting, that it would have to be rerun because it's been, the chain of custody has been so damaged? Is there any grounds for that at this point, Patrick, from what the auditors can see?
What the remedy is, I can think of a range of remedies that begin with rerunning the election in those six counties or six states or nationwide, or the government or the Supreme Court kicks it all into one of those, in the Constitution, there's the provision for a contested election. What is that called? Contingent election or something? I forget the term for it. The state's election. It's a state's election.
So there you have a more positive spin on the Maricopa election audit. And Burns should be in a position of being more knowledgeable about it all. But as he notes, we'll have to see where all this goes when it comes to our judiciary and state and federal governments getting involved, given the very disappointing things that have taken place so far and the level of compromising of so many officials that's become apparent. I mean, you have the billionaire globalist George Soros, who's been called the Marxist billionaire, giving billions of his own money and billions more he's poured into his Open Society foundations to distribute to just about every hardcore communist and other leftist cause in the country, the USA, not to mention other countries around the world, as well as all but dominating the Democratic Party and steering it hard to the left. And the same for much of the media and our educational institutions. Soros was heavily committed to defeating Donald Trump whom Soros has called a danger to the world, and particularly to Soros' warped worldview. He's written that he considers himself a kind of god destined to dominate the world, and that communist China must own and lead the new world economic order. And, of course, the New World Economic Order is the New World Order, politically and otherwise. In Arizona, you have the Maricopa County Sheriff, Democrat Paul Penzone, decrying the election audit there and claiming that auditors' request for certain computer files, specifically router information, is endangering law enforcement and other government institutions. This is bizarre, but understandable when you consider that Soros reportedly gave $2 million to Penzone's election coffers. Another Soros puppet in Arizona is Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, who, along with Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, no relation to me, also received millions from Soros. Hobbs has called the audit a circus. Patrick Byrne and election fraud warrior Mike Lindell insist that Lindell definitely does have absolute proof that communist China committed a number of successful cyber attacks in the November 2020 national elections, 19 of which in Arizona and other key states were enough to flip more than 518,000 votes cast for Donald Trump to Joe Biden and decided the election for Biden. For more information about this, see Mike Lindell's latest documentary, Absolute Interference, on LindellTV.com. That's LindellTV.com. Speaking of totalitarian communist world government, one American news network recently carried an article about pro-Trump lawyer and former federal prosecutor Sidney Powell on what's been happening in America. It's titled, "Democrats Turning America into Totalitarian Communist State," says attorney Sidney Powell. This is from a May 6th post on their website. According to the article states, according to attorney Sidney Powell, the Democratic Party and its corporate allies are turning America into a centralized country. Quote, "We are living under a communist totalitarian regime. Propaganda, not free press for the most part," close quote, she stated. Quote, "And the globalists and the Uniparty," she's talking about the Democrats here, "and the cabal," definitely this country. There's some ellipses here, so I don't know exactly how everything she said, but close quote. Anyway, the article goes on. Powell asserted that Democrats stole last year's elections with the help of establishment Republicans, the media, as well as China and Iran. She said they were determined to get President Trump out of office no matter what it took, even if it meant perpetuating so-called Russia collusion allegations for 4 years. As we all know, that came to nothing. However, the radical left is now changing their tune, the article continues, and doing whatever it takes to shut down controversy over the 2020 election results. See, the difference was all through after 2016, it's Russia stole the election. All these investigations, everything was wide open, came up with nothing. Now, you can't talk about it. After 2020, no, everything's fine. Don't talk about it. Really? What do they got to hide, huh? Yeah, the article continues, Powell stressed that despite Democrat attempts to derail the American audit, I guess she's talking about nationwide audits, she expects hundreds of thousands of fake Biden ballots to be exposed in Arizona and 400,000 in Georgia. And the article continues, Powell added, if the electronic voting machine companies are truly honest, she would expect them to be more transparent. She suggested they could have been more open to inspection the day after the election to make sure their data was correct. Under federal law, all voting machines must be protected for 22 months after the election. Powell noted the U.S. is supposed to have the most transparent voting systems in the world. The attorney warned, if Americans do not trust their votes are properly counted, we no longer have a republic or rule of law. She added, the fight for election integrity is the most important challenge facing America today. So you see, despite their billions spent on all their leftist brainwashing, hate propaganda, lies, and trickery, it all still wasn't enough to sway enough voters. In other words, not nearly enough to fool the vast majority of voters in America to follow along like sheep with the left's Pied Pipers. Lindell, Byrne, Powell, and others working to expose election fraud estimate Trump actually received about 80 million votes and Biden about 66 million. The left can't win elections, or enough of them anyway, so they have to steal them to gain and hold on to power. Yeah. And I strongly suspect this fraud has been going on for quite a few years now, both inside and outside the USA. Now the perpetrators and their minions are doing everything they can to hide, destroy, eliminate the evidence of what they've been up to. Powell, Lindell, and numerous others who've made allegations about election fraud and problems with voting machine hardware and software are each being sued for more than $1 billion by Dominion Voting Systems. Despite what's been they're alleging that this is defamation. Despite what's been inaccurately reported in the mainstream leftist media, remember, puppets of Soros and the Red Chinese and the other globalists, Powell has never backed off from her original allegations that Dominion voting machines and the software they use were involved in massive cyber attacks that flipped millions of votes cast for Donald Trump to Joe Biden. You might wonder, all these lawsuits must be costing Dominion a huge amount of money. But is Dominion really paying for them? Here's some audio with another pro-Trump lawyer, Lynn Wood, on the Pete Santilli radio show and podcast, March 30. Listen to what Lynn Wood has to say about who he thinks is behind the funding of these many lawsuits, defamation lawsuits, Dominion is filing. Play soundbite three, please.
I looked at Powell's evidence. I agreed to let her put my name on her lawsuit in case she needed a trial lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Her lawsuits were based on solid, credible evidence of massive. So Dominion comes out now and sues Sydney. That's going to be a mistake. It's going to backfire on Dominion.
Yes, sir.
They are the accuser now. Soon, they're going to be the accused.
I put that quote in the title of today's episode. Now, sir, you know, I know people in the, I know quite a few of them, some great attorneys in the legal profession that, you know, they won't necessarily disparage their own in the legal profession. I've had attorneys, pretty high-powered attorneys, file complaints against me, defamation lawsuits that were strictly intended to silence me, to shut me down, and cause me to retract my statement, when in fact what I was stating was a well-informed opinion. But anyways, long story short, these lawsuits, the lawsuit that came against me was intended to intimidate me, to extract what little wealth I have. I'm of reasonable means in independent media. It's unethical, as far as I'm concerned, to say the least, when people are doing this, knowing full well that they don't have a leg to stand at. But I couldn't afford not to defend myself in the case. Doesn't that apply here with Sidney Powell, with Fox News, with Rudy Giuliani? They all know what the facts are. They know that they're not out there intentionally putting out libelous information or defamatory information about Dominion or Smartmatic. But these companies are hiring attorneys to cause them to have no choice but to defend themselves. And that's to basically harass them, intimidate them, and shut them down, is it not?
Absolutely correct. So I left out the other lawsuit that Dominion filed. They sued Mike Lindell.
Yes.
Another $1.5 billion lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mistake on Dominion's part, too. Mike Lindell's a fighter. So, yeah, our legal system, and I've been a critic of our legal system for several years because we've turned into a business where it's about money, and now we're seeing that the legal profession has been turned into an agenda-driven advocacy group. So you have been sued at times for defamation where they just wanted you to be quiet. They wanted to intimidate you. Lawsuits are expensive, too expensive in my opinion. They ought to be simpler.
Mm-hmm.
But in the instance with the lawsuits filed by Dominion, they pick the people that are going to fight back. So they're not going to be intimidated. Dominion's lawsuit is frivolous. I know defamation law. They don't have a leg to stand on. They can't prove the first fundamental element of their case, that is, to prove that Sidney's statements were false. There's an abundance of evidence, massive evidence. Now, look at who's representing Dominion. A law firm called Clare Locke, out of Alexandria, Virginia. I know Clare Locke. I know Tom Clare. I know Libby Locke. They came out of Kirkland Ellis. They came to me when they decided they wanted to start up their own defamation boutique. I was a mentor to them. I worked with them. They're good lawyers, but they love money. A few months ago, Libby Locke called me and casually said, "Oh, Lynn, guess who we're representing?" I said, "Who?" "Bill Gates." And Lynn, I've met him 3 times in person. I said, "You better watch out, Libby Locke. You better watch out for Bill Gates." I believe that when the discovery in these cases is accomplished, you're going to find that it's not Dominion financing this litigation against these people. It's Bill Gates. He's paying Clare Locke to go around the country and file defamation cases. Shame on Tom Clare and Libby Locke.
Mm.
They lost their moral compass for money.
Yes. Yes, sir. I, and again, in the essence of time, this is a big topic here. I'm going to throw this out. I just want to kind of probe
Listen,
you for your.
I'll stay with you. I'll stay with you as long. I'll stay with you as long as you need to ask me questions. I don't have a time clock.
Okay,
you
fantastic.
Do that, fine, but I'm not going to run off at 30 minutes.
This is a really big one because I've done I've been inspired by a lot of people. There's a lot of good patriots out there doing a lot of research because I wanted to also dig up the truth. When I hear of Smartmatic and I hear of Dominion, I had to go do my due diligence and did my research. And at one day, I discovered a name, Lord Malik Brown. Then I discovered that Smartmatic and Dominion and all these connections that I even heard in his own words, Lord Malik Brown, through Smartmatic and his relationship with Dominion, that they had been overthrowing countries like the Philippines for years. Why is nobody talking about it? Of course, yes, we'll talk about Bill Gates and what his efforts are behind the scenes. What about this Lord Malik Brown and his connections through Smartmatic and Dominion? Have you touched on that name? And do you have any information to share with our listening audience as to how important he is in this thing?
I don't know that I have any specific information. I'm aware of his name, and I'm aware of his involvement from the materials I reviewed back when Sidney was here and at my property working on getting up the evidence in the cases. Here's what's happened to us, Pete.
Yes, sir.
Our CIA, the deep state, for years, decades, we've been running color revolutions on third world countries where we take over their government. Now, in 2020, they ran a color revolution on our country.
Yes, sir.
The pattern is the same. We had no business interfering in other countries' right to choose their own leaders. Now it's come back to haunt us because the deep state, in conjunction with the globalists and the communists in China, have run a color revolution on our country to try to steal our government. They're not going to be successful. The people in this country are going to stand up. This is our country. You're going to see around the world, I think, that other countries, the people are going to stand up.
Now, why would Bill Gates, the Microsoft founder and another globalist billionaire, be funding these Dominion lawsuits? Well, if it's true, we might want to consider that, as I understand it, Microsoft has made a lot of money helping communist China develop its high-tech digital surveillance state for its people, something likely to come for us here in the USA as well if the communists and globalists get their way. Also, Gates is a longtime Democrat. Here's a short audio clip from conservative commentator Roger Stone from last November, alleging that Microsoft involvement – he's actually alleging Microsoft involvement in producing a part of the software – in the election voting machines that is alleged to have allowed the fraud that occurred. Please soundbite four, please.
He's right. He's right. All of the controversy regarding Dominion voting systems is but the tip of the iceberg. Here's the real villain. It's none other than Bill Gates and Microsoft. You see, Microsoft designed a software called Election Guard that's being used by Dominion, as well as Election Services, Heart InterCivic, Clean Ballot, Election Systems and Hardware, B-Pro, and Smartmatic. In other words, 100% of the voting machines and voting systems in this country are using the same software that Dominion has been caught using to switch votes. The denial by the mainstream media that there's any evidence whatsoever is ludicrous. The evidence is overwhelming and compelling. Whether Sidney Powell, a fine attorney who isn't given to making claims she can't back up in court, can bring a case without the cooperation of the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI to come clean remains to be seen.
In soundbite three, played earlier, you may recall interviewer Pete Santilli making reference to Lord Mark Malik Brown. The gateway, it turns out that this Malik Brown, who was a member of the British House of Lords, or he's also been involved in the UN, he's been official there, and I believe he left, he was the president of Smartmatic. He's also a close personal ally of George Soros and now heads Soros's Open Society Foundations. The Gateway Pundit carried this article December 5th titled, Breaking, : George Soros appoints Lord Mark Malik Brown, the former president of Smartmatic, to lead Open Society Foundation. I believe the correct term is foundations, but anyway. The article states, on Saturday afternoon, billionaire far-left funder George Soros announced new leadership at his Open Society Foundation. Lord Mark Malik Brown, the former UN Deputy Secretary General and UK Minister, and president of Smartmatic Voting Systems, will replace Patrick Aspard at the helm. Brown was formerly vice chairman of Soros' investment funds and even the deputy secretary general of the United Nations when he worked as chief of staff to Kofi Annan. That was a UN head some years ago. Well, interesting stuff, huh? It does state Lord Mark Malik Brown was also the chairman of Smartmatic. I understand he left the day after the November 3rd election, resigned. I think I believe he was one of the founders of Smartmatic, if I am correct. And also, speaking of corrupted and compromised people in our government, I'm talking about people who are defending a lot of stuff that's going on and saying there's no evidence of election fraud. You may have heard about the recent raid on Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani's home and office by the FBI. Giuliani, who's another outspoken critic of the May 2020 elections and also being sued by Dominion for over $1.5 billion or something, the raid was – he has been this and the raid was conducted he's reportedly being investigated because he's – Giuliani is reportedly being investigated by Joe Biden's Department of Justice for one instance of allegedly failing to register as a foreign agent, which Giuliani vehemently denies, while himself accusing the DOJ and FBI of failing to do anything about numerous instances of Biden's son Hunter failing to register as a foreign agent while making millions with foreign governments trading on his father's name and influence as the U.S. vice president and afterward. Giuliani details strong evidence of alleged corruption by Biden, Joe Biden, and what Giuliani refers to as the Biden crime family, corruption in episode 79 of Giuliani's podcast series, Rudy Giuliani's Common Sense. This is available from his website, Rudy Giulianics, that's ICS, Rudy Giulianics with a CS there, .com. You would also find it on Rumble. Episode 79 came out before, where he details a lot of this Biden family corruption that he talks about. This came out before the election last year, but it has a lot of detailed information there. And he makes other references. We're going to hear some more references to the Bidens and their activities from Giuliani in a moment. But this is another section of the episode number 134, the podcast. I'm sorry, this is the first one. In which Giuliani talks about the FBI raid on his home and office and does not cast blame on the FBI agents conducting it, for whom he has the highest praise for conducting themselves professionally. Giuliani finds it outrageous and illegal to invade and compromise attorney-client privilege like this, but then this is the Biden-Soros CCP administration. In the audio, you'll hear Giuliani stating that when the FBI lined up all the electronic devices in Giuliani's possession, they declined to take with them Giuliani's copies of Hunter Biden's laptop hard drive. Of course, they already have their own copy and have for some time, like a year and a half, and apparently have done little, or if anything, with it. But it's interesting. Play soundbite five, please.
To two and a half hours and a long conversation with the agent on that. And as you might imagine, other matters, cases in the past. He wanted me to tell him about the commission case. He wanted me to tell him about Louis Free. He wanted me to tell him about all kinds of things. Very nice conversation and a very, very fine man. When it was all over, they put all the property they wanted on my dining room table, and it looked like about 13 or 14 pieces of electronics, and they started going through them. And I picked out the ones that were not mine. I pointed to a laptop that was loaned to me when we were investigating the hard top because I needed a special kind of computer for a while before I could buy that kind of computer. And it really belonged to someone else, I told them. And then they found an old tabletop computer that used to sit right on this desk right here for years. Hadn't been used in years and really more or less belonged to my former wife. It was put away somewhere deep in a closet. And when we exchanged homes and property, I missed it. But I did identify it as hers, thinking they wouldn't need to take it. But they did. They took that and they took the other. And they said, we'll make that determination. I said, well, fine. And then we got to, at the end, we got to two or three, definitely two hard drives. And I don't know if they asked me, what are those? Or I volunteered. Those are Hunter Biden's hard drives. Now, what does that mean? And what would they understand that to mean? That means they contain everything on Hunter Biden's personal computer for about a 6-year period during which he committed 30 crimes, his father 10, all documented there. Powerful evidence that has been suppressed, covered up, censored. Nobody wants to talk about it. You get canceled if you talk about it. And I said, that's his. Remember, the warrant called for all electronics. They said, oh, we don't want that. I was surprised by that because it did say all electronics. And they were keeping the two that I identified as somebody else's property. And I said, are you sure? First of all, you know, they could be in trouble because the judge signed one for all electronics. And now they're not going to take these two. And I don't remember if I said to them there or I said to my lawyer, but in any event, the conclusion was they took my word for it. I mean, the only indication they had that that was not mine is my saying these are Hunter Biden's hard drives. I guess if I had said all of this is Hunter Biden's, they wouldn't have taken any of it. I mean, it's absurd. And when they left, I did say to them, you know, you left behind the only incriminating evidence. Everything on there is privileged, which is a travesty that you're going to go look at it. Not having known that they had spied into this for a year and a half anyway. I didn't know that at the time. I said, you've left behind the only evidence of crimes. And ironically, evidence of failure to file as a foreign agent, which Hunter Biden did many times in comparison to the one false allegation against me that resulted in my home being invaded. His home has never been invaded, even though there are multiple times where he committed the same thing alleged about me, and where it's not true about me, it's proven by records with regard to him. One is particularly egregious. It involves the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, when he was a Deputy Secretary of State, and it's a meeting that was arranged about Burisma, which is the very crooked Ukrainian company that Biden, Hunter Biden, got millions of dollars for, which if you read the transcripts or the text carefully, he shared about half of that with his father. I know you don't know that because the press suppresses that. But if you read the hard drive, which I was trying to give to them, Hunter explains that to you. You can see why they want to get rid of me, don't you? There are people that know that hard drive better than me now, but probably no one knows it better than me for the purpose of how you would use it to prosecute a racketeering case. Guy is a specialist in that, kind of organized that originally. And I can show you the chart of the Biden crime family. And that hard drive gives you about 3/4 of the evidence that you need. Certainly gives you enough evidence to indict and get to a jury. And then there are independent witnesses as well. That's why they didn't want the hard drive. There are crimes there that are crying out for honest, decent law enforcement to do something. I explained the numerous failures to file as a foreign agent, not just him, but some of his business partners. The Blinken one is the most dramatic because it eventually involved, and the text pointed out, that Hunter Biden was brought in the back door of the State Department to meet Blinken toward the end of the day. That's our present Secretary of State, who's got a lot of questions to answer about Burisma, because he had an involvement in it. Could have been involvement in it in trying to stop them from doing the unethical, criminal, and obviously the substantial conflict of interest that they were doing. Or it could have been helping them. I don't know. But I do know that what they came into my apartment about, he demonstrably did on a hard drive that they've had for two years, and they've never even questioned him about it, much less broke into his home. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that indicates that the Justice Department works for one side, that it is a secret police of the Democrat Party? I'm sorry, but Jim Comey made it that way. And those agents, good men, those agents are carrying out unconstitutional and illegal assignments. And I know they don't realize it, and I don't blame them, and they shouldn't be penalized for it. But it's a shame what has been done to one of the greatest law enforcement agencies in the world and been turned into an arm of the Democrat Party. And this goes back now to when they fixed the Hillary Clinton case. but I saw direct evidence of it when they refused to take the Hunter Biden hard drive. And I have seen it for quite some time since they've had that hard drive for a year and a half. And it contains a complete explanation of how the money was divided among the people who were getting the bribes paid to Biden, because that's what they were. The Ukraine money, you know, was not for Hunter Biden. You know that. Just your common sense tells you that. The Ukraine money was a lot of money, and it went to the big guy, Joe Biden. And Hunter explains to you exactly how that happened over a 30-year period. And then you have the other transaction with the Chinese, in which the big guy is cut in for 10% of the $10 million a year that he, his son, his brother, his sister-in-law, the whole big Biden crime family is going to get from Chinese Communist Party members, high level, one since executed. These people were the partners of the current president of the United States 2 years ago for a contract giving him $30 million a year, of which he was going to get 10%. It's all in writing.
And here's more from a little later on in this same episode 134, the most recent Rudy Giuliani's Common Sense episode. Play soundbite six, please.
Sundance New York has no right to do that. I don't know who they think they are. They may think they're God. It's outrageous to go into a lawyer's office for a case like this. Maybe for any case, but certainly for a case like this. One failure to file as a foreign agent when Hunter Biden has dozens, when Hunter Biden has a case on that hard drive that they've had sitting there burning up the desk of whatever agent has it, in which there is a clear, provable, couple of pieces of paper prove it, that he lied to get a weapon. He said he wasn't a drug addict. If they looked at the hard drive, they'd see that 5 days earlier, he was driving around with a crack pipe in his mouth. The no is a felony that everybody else gets arrested for and goes to jail for. He doesn't even get investigated for it. They certainly don't bang his door down at 6 a.m, but he's a Biden. We got special rules in America. Or how about the child pornography and the statement by Hunter Biden admitting he's a danger to the children? Nobody worries about those kids. Nobody worries about what was said about him being a danger and his own admission of it. It's there on the hard drive. If the FBI or the Delaware police had the integrity, independence, and courage to put the safety of the children ahead of their worry about political revenge. And finally, that takes longer. The hard drive contains massive evidence of a 30-year-long scheme in which the Bidens made millions by selling his public office. I'll mention the ones you know. There are more. Ukraine, millions. Half of it to Joe. $3.5 million from the crooked wife of the crooked mayor of Moscow, close friends of Putin, who colluded with the Russians. Trump didn't. Trump didn't get $3.5 million or his son from any Russian. Biden did. And Hillary made a fortune with Russians. And these people engage in projection. They attribute to you the crimes that they commit and get away with because they are empowered by the press to do it. Then we have so much money from China, it's impossible to count. And on two different occasions, and massive investment in a private equity fund in which the son of the vice president is a partner with the government of China, while the vice president is supposedly negotiating with China to protect the United States and losing every negotiation. Oh, there's money from Kazakhstan. There's money from Romania. All ignored my one failure to file, in which I have offered four times to come and explain to them, has been leaked to the newspaper about eight times. They've done nothing about that. And then they bang on my door at 6 a.m. Somebody puts it out beforehand, and they get a big splash in the newspapers. But the behavior of this office for the last 5 years, it clearly is afflicted with a very bad case of Trump derangement syndrome. The way they treated him during the investigation was horrible. Leaking, 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 leaking. And then they said, well, they didn't leak. Well, then how do we all know about the case? I mean, how do we find out about it? I certainly didn't leak it. We found out about it because they leaked it. And then they always say, well, it's the FBI. Well, I don't know if that's true. So then put everybody under oath. Put everybody under polygraph. if you're serious about the ethical obligation. But they're not. They want the leaking. When it happens a third or fourth time and you do nothing about it, you want it to happen because they are hack politicians, not professional lawyers and prosecutors who take seriously the oath to do justice. They want to do political revenge, not justice. That's why they refused to investigate Biden when they had clear evidence way back 5 years ago that Biden was involved in crimes, and they turned it down. And there's a lawyer named Bud Wilkinson who can explain that to you. They turned their back on it, and instead they pursued the charges against Trump, which they leaked and leaked and leaked and never brought a charge. Please, will somebody do something about them? They're a menace. What else do we have to show? If we are ever going to return to being a country that is united with regard to our fundamental beliefs, as Abraham Lincoln defined American citizenship, it's based on beliefs, not anything else. If we're ever going to return to that kind of unity, we can't have this double standard, this dramatic double standard. Look, I'm Donald Trump's second or third lawyer to have been raided, having had his law office raided, not just his home, with a specific intent of getting the attorney-client privilege documents. Don't let them lie to you. That's why they dated it May 1st, which is approximately the day I started representing him. They didn't want anything before that. And then they took a year and a half while all those intense theories were being discussed and analyzed and debated and memos back and forth. The other side, because this side was investigating him also, for alleged crimes, they had the benefit of, you know, of spying on the defense. I mean, that has to be suppressed and disciplined. Just like the other things, had they been disciplined, this might not have happened. Collusion with Russia. Trump didn't do it. They did. Biden took money from Russia. Hillary took money from Russia. Bribing the president of Ukraine. Trump didn't do it. You read the conversation. Biden did do it. I know you see the double standard. But do you know what that does to Americans who believe in Donald Trump or believe in the fair administration of justice? It makes them bitter. It makes them discouraged. It makes them lose confidence in their government. But we're also going to consider what action can be taken so that the appropriate discipline takes place here, because so far the Justice Department and FBI, that for 4 or 5 years now under Democrat, Republican, Democrat, has been out of control, so that their behavior is controlled. And they realize they're going to pay a price when they lie again, when they leak again, when they use phony charges or minor charges to raid someone as if they're an organized criminal, a drug dealer. And then they don't do it when the evidence of crime is so clear with a Democrat, it's staring him in the face. And I don't know who to plead to. It'd be absurd to plead to Biden to straighten out the FBI. He's one of the people who corrupted it.
Getting back to the nation's election issues, CD Media reported in April about a lawsuit which reportedly does not have to prove election fraud to win. The CD Media article published May 9 says, quote, "The case alleges the runoff election in the Georgia U.S. Senate seats," I believe that was January 5th, "which was certified in February of this year, was illegally executed on many levels and so does not accurately reflect the will of Georgia voters. The lawsuit calls for a new election based on paper ballots as provided in Georgia law." The article goes on to say that the left is so frightened of this lawsuit, which is making its way through the courts, that it's brought in some big legal guns to fight it. So there is more good news on the election integrity fight lately. CD Media had another interesting article, an opinion piece published April 22nd. That article title reads, "U.S. populists are winning, but CCP will go kinetic and Biden will help them." The article states, "If you haven't noticed, the American populists are winning the war for public opinion. Former Overstock.com CEO Patrick Byrne declared he commissioned a poll recently that showed around 64% of the American citizenry believes fraud was instrumental in the official outcome of the 2020 presidential election. The audits in Maricopa County, Arizona, and Fulton County, Georgia are proceeding. Audits are also being planned in New Hampshire and other states. Judges have recently ordered new elections due to election fraud. Mike Lindell is releasing evidence daily in the press through his new social media platform, frankspeech.com, detailing the massive cyber attacks from foreign nationals that took place last November. In short, the gig is up regarding Democrat collusion with the Communist Party to illegally sway the election in their favor. These criminals are moving fast to ensure their agenda as they fully realize to enact their agenda as they fully realize any legitimacy they had is slipping through their fingers. There is reason for optimism in saying our constitutional republic for our constitutional republic for our children and grandchildren. What stands in the way of this reality is the Chinese Communist Party, which has completely infiltrated our government and national institutions. The article continues, before the coup in 2020 against the duly elected president of the United States, Donald Trump, China was losing the trade war. Tariffs were destabilizing the communist nation economically. Beijing could not let this stand. Hence, they pulled the trigger on the coup, which had obviously been planned for some time. China's economy is a house of cards. Their debt is enormous. Well, so is ours, but anyway. It is a top-down managed economy, which never can work long-term. It must constantly be fed by a devalued currency, IP theft, forced technology transfer, and the like. In short, the CCP cannot let an America First populist leader back in the White House. China will go kinetic before that happens. What would that look like? Possibly an EMP attack, that's electromagnetic pulse, to take down our electric grid, which would kill millions. Starting a war in Taiwan, or our favorite, another biological weapon attack. Think CCP virus on steroids. And interjecting here, I read something recently where they said that there was some information from agents in Communist China, actors there, stating that they were disappointed that the coronavirus was not more devastating, and they might want to come up with something more serious. There was also an article uncovered recently, supposedly, which involved Chinese military, which said that the future of warfare is going to be biological and digital. But anyway, moving back to the article here, it continues, America needs to be prepared for this eventuality. We have seen how far they are willing to go to obtain power. The good news is their mark is off. We know their agenda for world domination. We know the Americans who are in bed with them. The bad news is the Biden administration will enable whatever China's wishes are. It's time we face the grim reality and find the way forward to victory in this great battle between good and evil. Well, that's very scary stuff, of course. Whatever happens with Communist China, though, I heartily agree with many other observers that the Chinese Communist Party, not the Chinese people, are not our friends. And it's time we became aware of this and started working to resolve peacefully, if possible, the conflicts between our two nations and to preserve our sovereignty and the freedoms we've so long enjoyed and too often take for granted these days. I never cease to be amazed at the ridiculous hypocrisy of the political left. All these middle class and fabulously rich people, the oligarchs, who so wholeheartedly support communism and communist ideology, but somehow believe that once America is subservient to a communist totalitarian state like communist China, that they, that is, these well-off but steadfast supporters of Marxism, communism, liberalism, what have you, will somehow keep their wealth and live well under socialism. I realize that many American corporations like the NBA, Disney, the big tech companies, etc., have been and continue to make huge amounts of money doing business with Red China, but still think that they will continue to prosper under a communistic world government. One commentator said recently that we believe that by helping communist China become more capitalistic, they would also become more democratic and embrace individual rights and freedoms. Instead, we are becoming more totalitarian, and communist China remains totalitarian. All you have to do is look at the example of Jack Ma, you know, the mainland Chinese billionaire founder of Ant Group and Alibaba. Last year, Ma had been speaking out about the communist regime in China as being too restrictive for entrepreneurs. Suddenly, the communist regime there started to crack down on business people who were chafing under the restrictive nature of the regime. There's a video of Jack Ma on some social function in China where he's asked if he was going to sing later at some type of karaoke thing or something, and he replies, "No, he was too ill." He said, "I was looking," and the other person said, "He said he was poisoned and almost died recently." And the other person says, "I was so looking forward to hearing you sing." Well, right after that, Ma disappeared for about 2 months. He's recently reappeared but has been very quiet, and one of his companies has been fined billions by the regime for some reason, for which the principals of the company have vociferously thanked the regime for pointing out their error of their ways. Do the short-sighted, incredibly foolish corporate heads here in the U.S. really believe they're going to ultimately be better off under communism? Well, like I keep saying, Lenin famously said, when it comes to time to hang the capitalists, they'll be eager to sell the communists the rope. The first step in turning all this madness around is making enough of the American people aware of the dangers we are facing, both within and without our country. No one wants war with mainland China or any other country, but we sure as hell better wake up to the dangers we're facing and start working on resolving our problems, especially stopping the cabal of people in our own country who want to radically transform America into a dependent and subservient world government client state. That's it for another show. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot. As always, we hope you found our content of interest and value. Have a great rest of your day.